Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is every kid's favorite time of year, isn't it? Summer. It's a time when you can stay up late, you can sleep in, you can binge watch Netflix to your heart's content, you can do whatever you please. It's freedom from school and freedom from the craziness of schedules and baseball practice. Hopefully you kids have been enjoying it because school is starting soon and we won't even count the days until it begins. Well, maybe the adults are. But of course, I think this is a great time of year to be an adult as well, and largely because it's such a great time for kids. It's fun to watch them at play. It's fun to see them relaxing and enjoying and expressing themselves through play. It's fun to see it when it's a child who is near and dear to your heart. I know I enjoy seeing all the kids running past my office going to our playground or zooming past on a bike. But it's interesting to watch children interact, though, this time of year, isn't it? Sometimes they get along well with each other and sometimes not so well, right? Kids are sinful just like everyone else. And what makes kids get along? I suppose we wish we could find the formula, don't we? And as with most things, I suppose, when it comes to raising kids to cooperate in wholesome ways, there are really two extreme views. You have the permissive approach, and you have the strict authoritarian approach. And wise parents are looking for some place in between. Our Heavenly Father is the wisest parent. And in our Ephesians text this morning, our loving Father teaches His children to get along. For in Jesus Christ, you are His child. And our Father knows the best of all teaching ways, and that means neither extreme, but the strengths of both ways. Human parents can draw advice from the Scripture, but God isn't talking about parenting here. He's talking to us as children, as His children. And that's foundational for everything that God says to us in our Ephesians text today as we wrap up chapter 4 and stand on the doorsteps of chapter 5. St. Paul assures that you were sealed for the day of redemption as beloved children. We are children of God. All of us here in this room at each and every age, and we are sealed as His children. God did that at our baptism when He welcomed us into His family. Baptism is that visible act by which He places His seal on us. And remember what seals showed in the ancient world? They showed ownership, right? Our baptism says we belong to God. And our baptism marks each and every one of us on our foreheads and on our hearts as belonging to God, as His beloved and redeemed child. And by our baptism, God also takes responsibility for raising us, for caring for us, and for teaching us those things that a parent teaches a child, like how to get along. Throughout the last three chapters of Ephesians, Paul's emphasis is really showing us how to live with our fellow Christians, the rest of God's children. And just like kids, sometimes we get along well and sometimes not so well. We have our fights in the ball field. We might fight about who gets to sit in the front seat or who gets the window spot for the first part of the trip. We might hit each other with water balloons, except the older we get, the more our squabbles change, the more they might become things like this. Destroying someone's reputation through gossip rather than shouting about who gets the bat first. Maybe it's fighting for a job that other person wants rather than for the window spot for that first part of the trip. It might be soaking each other with verbal abuse rather than with water balloons, which can feel good on a hot day. That kind of behavior is no more acceptable among adult Christians as it is among kids on summer vacation. But God in our text intends to lead us to a better kind of interaction. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's every parent's dream, isn't it? To have kids who are kind and forgiving, then bitter and angry. And how do parents make that happen? How does God make that happen? Let's take a look at one of those approaches. Let's take a look at the permissive approach. In that approach, the parent gives full responsibility to the child for development. The parent lets the child learn on his or her own ways and how to get along. Every day, in reality, is a summer free-for-all. The idea is that independence lets the child develop their creativity to the fullest. But this can have some drawbacks. Without guidance, kids can develop an egocentric, me-first kind of mentality that goes beyond the baseball field or water balloons. And kids can develop resentment for parents whom they feel just don't care since they don't give guidance. God certainly doesn't do this. He doesn't have an anything-goes attitude with His children. He cares. He cares deeply. And in fact, when His children sin, He grieves. Paul writes, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us God's will, and He grieves when we ignore it. The Holy Spirit is the one who shows us God's love, and He grieves when our lives don't reflect that kind of love. I mean, imagine the grief a parent feels when their son or daughter might hurt someone else's child or do a violent crime. Imagine the grief they might feel when a child rejects everything that the parent had done, or when they see their kid go down the wrong path. Those things hurt, they cause grief, don't they? The Holy Spirit is grieved when God's children hurt one another, whether by word or deed. He is grieved when we reject everything God has done in creating, redeeming, and caring for us. He is grieved whenever we hurt ourselves by falling into sin. God cares too much to sit back and see whether we'll learn by ourselves. He doesn't take a boys will be boys or kids will be kids approach when it comes to sin or getting along. No, He commands. He directs. He has His do's and don'ts for getting along. It's inconsistent with our faith to fight with others, to hold grudges or talk evil. God doesn't permit it. He wants His children to be kind and forgiving and compassionate. He wants us to care about the lonely and brokenhearted. He wants us to serve those who are in need. He wants us to bear with others' sins and failures. God is no permissive sit-back-and-watch parent. We could never resent Him as a father who doesn't care. He longs, He aches for us to be kind and compassionate to one another. And by His commands, He actively teaches us to get along. But you can't compare Him to a parent of the other extreme approach, that of a strict authoritarian. You know this model. Lots of rules. Do as I say because it is me telling you. Do it because I said so. If you don't do it, you're going to get it. The assumption is always no, unless the parent surprises you by saying yes. This approach certainly gets outward compliance, but it gets inner resentment and resistance, doesn't it? As soon as the threat is gone, that outward compliance can stop. God doesn't want outward grudging motions or actions. He wants hearts. So He brings about loving outward actions by working inwardly through His word and sacraments by His Spirit. God calls us His kids, His dearly beloved. And that is exactly what you are when Christ sacrificed Himself for us. And He did it for you. And that's the greatest demonstration of love, isn't it? Giving up one's life for another. There are people in our lives that we would do that for in an instant, without hesitation, without thinking. And that's because we love them. Jesus did that for you. because he loves you. God wanted us to be his own, to be his people who would serve him and others willingly. And that could only be done if he sent his son to remove that sin that separated us from him. And that is exactly what he did through his death and resurrection. Paul says that Jesus gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And this phrase recalls many Old Testament sacrifices. It recalls the smoke of burnt offerings as being a pleasing aroma to God. Let your nostrils just imagine the pleasure of breathing a wonderful perfume or incense or a delicious meal. It's pleasing, isn't it? There's nothing that we or the Old Testament people could do that could please God like that. But Jesus pleased God for us. He was God demonstrating his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus pleasing God for us is why we could be sealed for that day of redemption. Once he paid for our sins, this Holy Spirit could come to us in our baptism and give us that forgiveness that he had won and earned. And this seal means that we can be certain of the eternal life that we have in Christ when our last day, or the last day, comes. Baptism, eternal life, that is God showing his love for us in Jesus Christ. And this love, God's love, then teaches us to love. We imitate God's love as his beloved children. And the Greek word for imitators, where we get our word mimic from. And that's the way children learn, isn't it? Children mimic their parents. They do it for the good traits and habits. They do it for the bad traits and bad habits as well, don't they? But God uses that technique on us. He wants us to love. And so he richly loves us first. He wants us to forgive. And so he forgives us in Jesus Christ. He shows us how. But even more important, God's love and forgiveness motivates us to love and forgive and get along. In spite of all of our sins, we're loved and forgiven by him. In spite of our unworthiness, we're blessed by him each and every day. In spite of our bitterness and wrath, our anger, our clamor and malice, all believe in Jesus, have eternal life. And that kind of love moves us to get along nicely, even if we've outgrown summer vacations or the back seat of the family car. In Jesus Christ, you are his child. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.